Welcome to another episode of Coffee and Jesus. I'm your host, Jael Penn, coming to you from the great state of Texas. Tonight's topic is discipleship. If you're a new believer, you may not have heard that term. You may have heard the word disciple, and you probably know what that is, but I want to teach you about discipleship. Let's look at Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, with his power flowing through me, to present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Jesus Christ. So the heart of discipleship is proclaiming Jesus. We also need to teach with wisdom. We need to warn with wisdom. We need to be spiritually mature and discipling others and realize that there's going to be struggle. Discipleship is rewarding. However, there's loss that usually comes with that. It's also going to require a lot of energy on your part. It's a lot of work. And of course, you know, there's a flip side to everything. So there are temptations or obstacles associated with discipleship. Elevating yourself. For example, a lot of people are turned off by Christianity because of televangelists, the preachers that are on TV, because it seems as though they are elevating themselves rather than God. So that's one temptation that you may have to fight. Another obstacle is, there's two sides of the spectrum to this. You're either too harsh in how you come across in trying to lead people to Christ, or you water down the Bible so much to please people that it's no longer God's truth. So you have to be careful about that too. That's where the spiritual maturity comes in. If you are seeking self-gratification because you need to be needed, you need to be idolized, that's a problem. And you are no longer discipling others, you are being prideful. If you're having lots of issues because you're depending on yourself, your resources, your vision, your ideas, other than the Holy Spirit, that's another problem. That's another setback because we can only do all of this through Him. So the four essential elements of discipleship are, one is outreach. We have to get outside the walls of the church. We have to go where people are, whether that's to the prostitute on the street or the drunk in the bar, to the kids on college campuses, to the people in the unemployment line or the soup line or the kitchen, soup kitchen, to the club of the motorcycle gang. You know, we have to do whatever we have to do, and we have to go wherever we have to go. That's outreach. That's what Jesus did. Now, maybe they didn't have the exact same types of establishments back then that we have now, but you understand the idea. Also, to grow in discipleship, you have to grow yourself in the Word. If you're not being fed, then you are weak and you are not strong enough spiritually to feed others. I'm just going to say it. So you have to study the Word or attend Bible classes or watch sermons or, you know, take ministry classes. You have to do something. You have to do something to grow in the Word. You also need to fellowship. You can't isolate yourself and be a one-man show on your own little island. So you're going to have to fellowship with other believers. Now, here's the thing. If you're the strongest, most spiritually mature person in your group, that's a problem. Why? Because you need somebody to mentor and check you. Always. So check out, think about who's in your inner circle of ministers that are friends, and make sure that you have a Beth Moore or a T.D. Jakes or a John Gray or a Joyce Meyer, somebody stronger and wiser than you. Worship. And I know most people think worship and they just think, you know, beautiful music like Carrie Job or Hillsong. And don't get me wrong, I love that. I love music. My mother, grandmother, grandfather, all musicians. So I come from a musical family. Worship is a lifestyle, y'all. It is praising God all the time, not just sometimes. And it's not just through music either. So those are the basics of discipleship. Now, let's talk about spiritual multiplication, because that's really the heart of discipleship, is that you want to help people get saved so they can help other people get saved. That's spiritual multiplication. It is God's plan and desire for every person who is born again into his family to reproduce and multiply. Spiritual reproduction and multiplication is not just for the pastors. It's for every believer. And I encourage you to read Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, excuse me, and Mark 6, verses 6 through 17, and Mark 6, 30. So how can you start the discipling process? The very first thing that Jesus did was he would pray. In Luke 6:12, he spent the whole night in prayer to God before he chose the 12. So you need to commit to begin praying by yourself or with a discipling partner that God has shown you that can pour into your life. You should look for people that have a strong interest and desire either to become a Christian or to grow in their Christian life. When God directs you to people, then you need to pay attention to that. And sometimes it will be very strange who he points out to you, and you'll say, well, I thought they were already a Christian or spiritually mature. Maybe it's just an act. Maybe they're a Sunday Christian, where they do and say all the right things on Sunday, and Monday through Saturday, they are hell on wheels. I mean, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So pay attention to who the Holy Spirit directs you to. Make sure that when you approach people to disciple them and tell them about the love of Jesus, that you do it in a compassionate, non-judgmental way. I know that we have thrown off a lot of people by being preachy. Don't get me wrong, I am the product of a preacher. My mother was a pastor. She was an evangelist. She was a prophet. She was an intercessor. She was a worshiper. She was amazing. And yet I would watch her, and all she would do, y'all, was just be kind to people. No matter what they did, she treated everybody the same. I don't know how she did that, but it was beautiful to watch. Whether you were the person, the maid at the hotel room, or the concierge at the hotel, or if you were the president of a company, or the pastor of another church, or a stranger on the street, she treated everybody the same. And that's what Christ did. And that's how we should be. So when you're not sure and you're feeling leery about, should I talk to this person? Are they going to accept me? Don't worry about it because it's not going to be you anyway. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And God has called us to be fishers of men. So I want you to think about discipleship today and the part that you play, because like I said earlier, this is not just for pastors of a church. We are all called to do this. Every single one of us. Matthew 28:16-20 says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Remember, you want spiritual multiplication. We've been very blessed at the church that I go to, Grace Church Houston. We have a ministry called Propel, which I'm a part of. And it's been amazing to see spiritual multiplication from our chapter. And that's Christine Kane's women's ministry, by the way. You can look it up at propelwomen.org. From our chapter, we have spawned or birthed 6 chapters in other churches. That is spiritual multiplication, because God put together a team of women at our church who have different gifts. And so between us, we were able to mentor and disciple other women and help them, raise them up as leaders, and now they're leaders in their own right and other avenues. That's exactly what we want. We don't want people to stay with us forever like they are our children and just never leave the nest, so to speak. And so we are very, very happy and proud of that our chapter is a revolving door. That's spiritual multiplication. That's what you want. It's okay. People are going to leave. And if you have a problem with you leaving, then you need to check yourself. You need to check your heart. You need to check your motives for what you're doing in ministry, because it's not about you. It's about building the kingdom. And that's going to require some people to move on to bigger and better things, wherever it is that God's taking them. And we need to be happy for them, just like we want people to be happy for us when he blesses us with new opportunities to reach others. So I know that was a very quick lesson on discipleship. There's a whole lot I could say. It could be a whole day seminar, to be honest with you. But just check out some books. Go to your local Christian bookstore. Talk to your pastor. Take a Bible study class. Do some research on the internet, on well-known Christian sites. But discipleship is something that we should all be doing, especially now. The world needs it now more than ever. So I hope that you will accept the challenge of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you this week and take you somewhere that you've never been before. I pray that he will make you bold and that you will speak up and look for people to witness to. Thank you for joining me on Coffee and Jesus today. And always remember that Jesus loves you, and so do I. Be blessed.